Welcome back to Benissa's Cafe and Fortunately Femme. We are hosting a series of interviews with amazing women from all around the world for International Women's Month in March of this year. So I'm so excited to have our new guest, and I am going to have my co-host, Coach Betty, introduce her. So Betty, take it away.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of Fortunately Femme and Benissa's Cafe, where we are showcasing women around the world. And tonight we have an amazing woman. Her name is Dr. Kiros Gabrielle. She is from, I'm going to let her share more about herself. Dr. Kiros, welcome. Good evening. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me. I'm very honored to be a part of this, you know, speaking about women's issues globally. And like you said, my name is Dr. Kiros Tolda Gabriel. I live in Chicago. I came to the United States in 1979. I came as an F1 student here in Chicago at the Loyola University. And I attended Loyola University. And just to tell you a little bit about myself, I was born in a very small town in Ethiopia, in the north part of Ethiopia called Gondar. It's in the mountains area. And actually, there is a story that goes with that because that's a part of who I am today. So I always want to talk about that. And my mother was married at the age of 14, and she had me at 17 in Gondar. And my mom was a very good student, but there was a pressure from her parents to get married. So my mom got married very young, when she was 14 years old. So she had me 17. You know, it was a very small town. She had very difficult time having me. So finally, I was like a breech baby. They didn't have surgery at the time. So they were putting me with forceps. And after I came out, the doctor pronounced me dead. And so my mom was left, you know, she was taken to the room. My grandmother, who was sitting in the hallway, asked the nurses, you know, what happened now? And she said, well, your daughter is fine, but the baby didn't make it. The baby died. So my grandmother was so sad, and she was crying, and she asked them if she can see the baby, but they told her that there's no way you can see her. She's all swollen. You don't want to remember her like that, so don't go in. But my grandmother is a strong woman. I come from a very strong woman generation. My mother, my grandmother, every one of them are very strong women. So she went to the operation room with a holy water of Saint Kiros. It's a saint that our people, you know, so I'm an Orthodox, you know, Christian Orthodox, they believe in that. So she sneaked to the operation room without permission to see me. And she saw me, she found me on the floor, you know, like covered with so many things. And finally she started praying and crying and pouring the holy water on my body. And then after a few minutes, she said something moving. And then she like said, God, you know, this is a miracle. And when she poured some more of the holy water, I started crying. And she ran out and brought the nurses. They couldn't figure out what happened. The doctor came back. He said, he pronounced me dead. So, you know, I'm here, you know, going forward many years. So I'm still here. But I'm a miracle baby. And that's why my name is Kiros. That's how I got my name. So just introduce myself about that. So wow. I live up to my name. My grandmother is no longer here in this world, but I carry her spirit and I carry my mom's spirit. And it's really sometimes that's what makes me the person that I am today. I always say I have to live up to my potential, my gift as a miracle. So I came to the United States, came a student. So I worked for the city of Chicago with the mayor, Mayor Harold Washington. He was the first Black Mayor in Chicago. So I was a special events, and I worked for like 28 years for the city of Chicago. And I started my own business. So because I always worked as an advocate for women, children, as an African community, in our community. So that's my purpose now. And that's my what I wanted to do. What I'm doing right now actually is empowering women, advocating for women and children, especially for the youth in mental health, and suicide rates is going up. So we want to, you know, like empower the youth in general, women and men. So basically that's, you know, what I'm doing right now.
Amazing. But I mean, thank you for sharing your background, who you are, Dr. Kiras. But I was excited to have you on this platform, specifically because you are representing two countries. Everyone else we have, they're from one country usually.
Right. Yeah.
You are from two different countries. And the one, I know you were born in Ethiopia, but your parents, right, were from where?
Eritrea.
Eritrea. And that, so what really was amazing for me, because Eritrea is a country that is interesting. And as Haitian, I'm from Haiti. And as Haitian, I know how the people from your country, they were inspired by the Haitian Revolution to get their own independence.
Yes.
Recently, I know in the 1980s, when you get your independence, they were really, I know I was reading an article where they share how, you know, Eritrean, they were saying that, well, if Haitian did it in 1804, that was way, way back then when they were there was no technology, there was no internet, there was nothing to really, you know, drive their success to the world. But they did it, well, with the least they had. So why not? Why not now we can do it too? So they inspired for my country to get their independence. I'm so proud of that. And I was looking for someone for Eritrea to share that story, because I know it means a lot for Haitian in general. So thank you for being here again. I'm really happy to have you. And we're going to ask you some more questions. Vanessa, you can take it away.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. That's an amazing story. Yeah, that's true. That's very much true. Mm-hmm.
So tell us something you haven't told us about Eritrea or Ethiopia. Tell the world, tell the listeners a little bit about where you're from and what's so special about it.
Yeah, Ethiopia and Eritrea. You see, Ethiopia is one of the oldest countries in the world. It was used to be called Abyssinia. And it was one of the stories in the Bible that's always stands out is about the story of King Solomon and Queen of Sheba. Queen Sheba was the queen of Ethiopia, which is Abyssinia. So she traveled to Israel to meet King Solomon. And because, you know, she was very impressed about his wisdom and about his work. She heard about it because they're merchants who travel back and forth and bringing, you know, goods. And, you know, at that time, this is like I'm telling you many centuries ago. So one thing is that the story is, it shows about the strength of a woman. At that time, she was the queen of Ethiopia and Abyssinia in general. She went and she met King Solomon. And from that meeting, there was a child born, and she came back, she had a son, and her son became the first Aksumite Empire, which is in Ethiopia. It's a 40-story building in Aksum that's built in the name of his mom, which is Queen of Sheba. So it's in the Bible, the story is in the Bible, and it's a beautiful country. There's so many stories. The oldest species was found like in Ethiopia. So there was a lot of civilization that started in Egypt and Ethiopia at the time. Mm-hmm. And Eritrea was under the colony of Italians. It was under the Italian colony for many years, like over 60 years. But then they were annexed with Ethiopia in the 1957, around that area. And they wanted independence. So they fought for 30 years. one thing about the independence is not only the men who fought, but the women were fighting alongside the men. They were given equal opportunities. Despite of the rural areas where women are always looked down and they have to be submissive to their husbands and their fathers. But in that field, in the field and the war, when they were fighting for the independence, there were many stories about very, very strong women who fought in the independence of Eritrea. And, some didn't make it, but a lot of people make it, who with that got their independence. So Eritrea is independent. They're two different countries, but we share a lot of culture. Mm-hmm. We share Ethiopia and Eritrea. The way we dress, our food is similar. Our dresses are similar. There's so many traditions that we carry, which are very similar to one another. So it's basically, we're two different countries, but we share a lot of things, mm-hmm. In common. One thing, as I looked at your questions, I was thinking about one thing that makes it very unique in women's, in Ethiopia, in women culture, is the coffee ceremony. Coffee ceremony is a very social equation where everyone, and you invite your neighbors. Mm-hmm. If you don't know even people who are on the street, if they want to come down and have coffee with you, you always invite them. And coffee is a very holistic time, or very a time where women communicate with each other. They talk about their inner issues that they're going on with their husbands, their children, and everything else. So is a therapy for the women. A lot of times it's like the venting out time when they sit around. So that's something that I think is very unique in our community. Mm-hmm. And we carried that here too in the United States, everywhere in the world. When you thought if you meet an Ethiopian or Eritrean and you ask them about coffee ceremony, they'll tell you how it is done. And so I think that was really helped a lot of women get their energy, their empowerment, advice from an older generation, like the newly married women. They hear stories and how they cope with certain situations. They'll be able to let them know. So I think it was very helpful. And I think that's one of the unique traditions that we have. And it's like there's snacks, and then there's essence where you put a coal on a coal fire, you put the essence and then it's burning. So it's like it's a very social ceremony. So I think that's one of the things that is very unique about our culture, especially for women in our, Eritrea, in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this now. So how often is that ceremony happen, the coffee ceremony?
Back home, like in Ethiopia, maybe twice a day in the morning before they start doing their job, their work. A lot of times, I'm telling you about this women who stay home, raise their children. But there are a few of us, not, as much as I would like to see. A lot of women are just staying home. But, there are a lot of women who go to work. But this is for women who are raising their children at home. So twice before they start work in the morning, they get together. And then the other thing is, it's not only in one house. This, you get in one house this morning, and then the other person, your neighbor, calls you. So they all go there. And then they start, it's twice a day. So they take turns. So maybe mostly twice, two or three times a day they do that.
Got it. Okay.
We have that in my culture too. I'm from Bosnia, and we do that too. And it's always when you want, when you call somebody to come visit you, you always say, come by, let's have some coffee. It's kind of similar to that too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very nice. And then plus the thing is, there's no, you're not afraid to invite your neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like very social people, mm-hmm. very loving, very hospitable, you know, very hospitable. So if you go to Ethiopia or Eritrea, that's how they are. People are very hospitable and very loving.
Wow, that's awesome. But now tell us about the women, how women are viewed in both countries. I mean, I know they were one at one time and they, you know, they get their independence, they became two different countries. Mm-hmm. But now tell us how women are viewed. Is it the same since they were one country at once? Tell us about that.
You know, a lot of women are always viewed like second citizens. If, you know, it's mostly is like the gender roles are clearly defined in Ethiopia and Eritrea. Like men are the one who hold the most authority. Women are generally like considered to be, like I said earlier, subordinate to their husbands and fathers. And, you know, even when it comes to entitlements, like assets and resources, it's always given to a male. Even there's a, you know, like when you have a boy, it's a big joy. Like if a boy is born in a family, it's like a big joy. A woman, oh, it's a woman. Okay, it's like it's not as excited as they are excited as having a boy. You know, so they always think like a boy is the one who will hold the family together. So there's always you know, women are always viewed less, and you know, they're also bound home, you know, they have to stay home, cook and clean, take care of the children. They carry the burden, you know, all the burden of the housework, the caring for their children, caring for the husband, you know, and then also they have to listen to what the husband, you know, tells them to do. They cannot just make their own decisions on their own. But it's changing now. You know, a lot of things are changing. There's many organizations that have started in both countries, especially in Ethiopia, about, you know, gender equality, about women's empowerment and things like that. And, you know, increasing educational opportunities for girls and women. 'Cause a lot of times women were just start school early, like just another boy, you know, with boys at the same time, but then they stop school at the age, you know, like elementary school. They don't keep going, you know. Maybe some, they go to high school, but they can't go to college. They don't want to go to, they get either get married, or there's always maybe an income, so, you know, they don't have enough income to keep going. And they, you know, so that is changing, you know, now. It's not like it used to be. You know, a lot of times women are given opportunities for education, self-empowerment, self-sustaining. So, you know, like some, you know, businesses, women-owned businesses, so that they can get an income to be empowered, you know, a little bit more self-sufficient. So it's changing, but women, usually their view like that. And then the other situation is, in the rural areas, and mostly they're always depending on agriculture, and women work there also in plowing the land and helping their husbands. And also they come home and they still have the responsibility of cooking and cleaning and childcare and all that. So they work harder. They get, you know, it's very, they believe they don't think there is any other way, but that's the way they their life has to be. So there's an education that needs to be expanded in Ethiopia or Eritrea, teaching women that, you know, they have to do, you know, to believe in themselves, you know, to be more respective of themselves and to be empowered to get the education that they need, you know, help them with getting education so that they can be more self-sufficient. financially, emotionally, and educationally, you know, that's expanding now. So I guess it's changing now a little bit.
So that actually brings us to the next question, which is how have things changed in the last years?
Yeah, it has changed a lot, you know, I would say, except that, you know, like there's always this racial motivated killings, their war that's going on in Africa in general, not only in Ethiopia and Eritrea. Racially motivated killings, there's a, you know, a lot of times women, you know, their women are raped. There's women, you know, violence against women that's been going on for many years, you know, and it's not even punishable for a man to do that. You know, if they're not get punished, it's just okay to do that. But there has been a struggle going on. There's a lot of people out there who are fighting to change the view of the men, you know, in power, the leaders. You know, it starts from the government, starts from the leaders, mm-hmm. to change their view about women. You know, to be more respective and to see women as individuals, as human beings, to be treated, you know, as human beings with respect. So things are changing. There's a lot of organizations that are out there. Women are, you know, more getting the training they need to get jobs, to be able to work in industries and to be able to bring income to their to the home. So I want to see more change. But it's good that there are people who are aware that this needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. You muted, Betty.
Oh. I was trying to comment, but I was muted. Yes, I was saying that's good to know that your country, the people, you know, the organizations, they are working hard to empower women and to make a change. You know, it's time to be better and to do better. So I'm happy to hear that. So you're not really stagnant, but you are there. People are working diligently to change the situation for women in both countries. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's very important for all women to get together, you know, to empower each other and empower the women who are doing this. You know, we live here in the United States. I live here, but, you know, it's like the women out there, we have to empower and create leaders, women leaders who are able to carry this task.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what we are here. That's the whole mission. We come together to really show the world that it's not, I mean, don't take your freedom for granted, because not everyone, you know, in the world has the same opportunity that you have in the US. And some people don't understand that because they were born and raised here and they think that's the way it is everywhere. But now mm-hmm. our mission is to show them that people like you, like me, like Benisa, we all from countries where things are different, and show that different, that angle, you know, that's going to show them, that open their eyes, hopefully, to see things, you know, from a global perspective. And that brings us to our next question, Dr. Kiwas, which is there any equal opportunity for women in both countries as far as finances or health? Or education. I know you mentioned that women are going back to work now. They stop maybe being, you know, at home taking care of their children. Now, are they able to receive equal pay? Is there such thing as equal opportunities for women in both countries?
I can't say that it has greatly changed, but it's a good beginning. I would say that women are asking for, you know, equal pay for jobs that they do, similar jobs that they do with other men. They're demanding that it's not really happening, because there are certain positions that they don't want to hire women for, even though they're capable of doing it. So there's still that discrimination against women. It is changing. You know, we see there's a lot of women now, at least I see a lot of women in positions, big positions in Ethiopia. Like the president now, Ethiopia is a female. And there are some key positions that...
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's a female, a woman. She's the one that is the president. But then the prime minister is the one who makes most of the decisions and you know, about the country. She's very educated. She's a very talented woman. And so she is... the president, and there's some other key positions also that are, you know, the women hold in Ethiopia. I can't say that as much in Eritrea, but in Ethiopia there are a lot of key positions that are also taken by women, and I think both countries, you know, there are women that are forcing this to happen. Organizations and then also who are, you know, women who are organized together so that they could fight for their rights, for their place in society, to show that not only by speaking, but by actions, by what they do, you know, by, you know, educating themselves and, you know, being out there speaking and being engaging in, you know, community work and things like that. So I think it's changing. I want to see more change. I think we have to do more work in this, because I see there are a lot of women still also that are living in a very in domestic violence. They are early marriages, like child marriages, rape, and all that is not even accounted for. You know, the people who do this, they're not accountable. They're not found accountable for it. So there needs to be more education about that, that girls and women should be more respected. You know, they're not toys. They're human beings who are capable that to do anything you teach them to do. Mm-hmm. Give them the confidence, give them the education, give them the opportunity. I mean, they can do that. You know, I can speak for myself. I grew up in a home, it's more modern. I was given the opportunity to be who I am, who I wanted to be. My parents encouraged me to go to school. They encouraged us to read books when I was back home. And so I can see how effective it is when you teach a child, when their children, you know, growing up, that they are capable to do what they want to do in life. You know, giving, being supporting, being encouraging, you know, not telling them words that demonize them, because words are very demeaning. They can put you down. They can make you lose your self-confidence, and you would feel like you're nobody, like you cannot do anything. Because if you're told repeatedly negative things when you're young, you know, especially girls and women, that they're not able to do what they wanted to do in life. You don't have any chance. You don't have any way to go to do what you wanted to do in life. Your job is just to be a wife, or your job is just... So I think that's what we need to teach the women, you know, or the men, even in general, because it takes not only a woman, but a man has to understand that when they, as a parent, that they have to teach their children that they are enough and they matter in this world. Mm-hmm. And not demonizing words, because words can really destroy the mind. And if you destroy the mind of a person, they're not going to be able to function because they don't believe in themselves. So I think, you know, we need to change that globally. We need to work on that. There's a lot of work to be done on that, because women in every country, like Asia, Africa, everywhere, they've been put down. And they're told, you cannot do this. You cannot do that. You're a woman. You're not able to do this. You know, you have to be quiet. You can't speak louder. You can't speak, you know, a woman should not act this way. A woman should be acting this. So when we tell these girls like that, you know, what are we teaching them? So we need to change all that. That's what my belief is. You know, we need to change to change that from the bottom.
That's true.
From the start.
Yeah, you're very, very right. And even, you know, I grew up in Germany. And even there, like, just I was reflecting as you were speaking, and even there, everything had, it's like you basically had a path, you know, that was kind of already laid out for you. And this is the direction you need to go. And you can, you know, choose something in a medical field. You can go be a hairdresser, a cashier, maybe a banker. Then as you like get into the like the more advanced jobs, that's already where you see less and less women. Oh, nurses, of course, you know, anything medical, but then like doctors, oh, you see more male, you know.
Yeah.
Anything with a higher education level, it's kind of gets, you start weeding out, you know, there's less and less, but you know, it, mm-hmm. So I definitely think that globally that needs to change too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. Very true. Cause I see that in myself, you know, my mother, she stopped school when she was 14 years old. She was eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And her parents, her teachers were so upset with her that she had to marry at that age, because she was very smart. So my mom got married with my dad. But, you know, my dad and mom, she married him because she loved him, not because, you know, her parents pressured her. But after 16 years, she had, you know, we were born, we were raised, you know, she was raising us at home. She went back to school and finished high school. And she started college. So my mom was like a role model for us. You know, the fact that she got married at a younger age, she was a very smart, you know, girl. She read very well English. She used to read books for us when we were young. Growing up, she read books. She taught us the songs that she learned, English songs when she learned back in school. But then she went back to college. She started going back straight to ninth grade after 16 years. And she was getting A's. And she finished, and she worked at a library in Ethiopia for many years. But she's here in the United States now with us. But then, you know, it gives you, she was a role model for us that we need to keep going. You know, I see my mom going to school, and then we're going to school. So that was different for me. And my parents were both educated. My father is an engineer. And so that laid a good foundation for me and my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful for that, for my parents.
Somebody always has to, it always takes that one, right? To break that.
Break that
generational curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You break that, you know, generational
the cycle.
And, yeah. I think that's true. So I think, you know, women should be viewed differently. It starts from us. Mm-hmm. I always say it starts from us, because we need to lift each other.
Yes,
we need to support each other. And I see women speaking badly about other women, I always get mad about that, because you know why? We all go through something. You know, we all have a responsibility of raising our children. We have a responsibility of making sure that, you know, we're doing good. You know, there's so many struggles we go through as women, all of us in the world. Every yeah. woman goes through struggle of having a relationship issue. You know, always being viewed as always second citizen, like you cannot do this, a woman cannot do that. So we need to work together. Mm-hmm. We need to support each other, lift each other up.
Yeah.
We need to treat each other better. and know that if somebody is not like maybe very irritable, maybe, you know, you see someone that is always being mean to other people, you know, it's not because they're mean, maybe sometimes because they want to be mean, but it's probably that's what they're going through something. So if we can like break that, you know, issues that they're going through, like maybe the struggles that they're going through as women to women, yeah, together, lifting each other, respecting one another, knowing our differences, because we have differences, because each of us are raised differently in a different culture and a different environment. We may be different, like some situations are different for me and you. We may not look at it the same way because of how we're raised. But then we need to like always communicate together, try to understand each other. Mm-hmm. And try to embrace one another and lift each other. And I think that's being more respectful for ourselves. We can't expect other people, men, to respect us if we don't really respect ourselves. Right, so we need to respect ourselves first.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. That's too much. Like society has created such a animosity, you know, and it's like sometimes you see just a lot of women are, you know, instead of staying together and sticking together, you know, their jealousy gets in the way, and you know, whatever else they may be going through, you know, it affects them and how they support another woman. So I truly believe that it starts with each woman being handing, you know, holding hands versus making it harder for each other.
Exactly. And then treating one another, you want to be treated, you know, you would treat others the way you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And living in civility, in respect, and love one another, you know, being civil to one another.
Yeah, I also believe that, you know, holding each other accountable and, yes, and being open to criticism without getting into your emotions, you know, yeah, and like recognizing that if I care about you, right, as my friend, that I want the best interest, and therefore I am going to tell you what other people may not, you know. Exactly. Choose to, because I truly care about you as a person or as my friend.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And then should not make somebody mad like that, you know. You don't have to feel defensive or emotional about it. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, if that's the way we try to change ourselves, because mm-hmm. we don't see ourselves sometimes. Other people mm-hmm. sometimes see some things in us that may not be right, you know. So, I mean, it's good to have that healthy communication.
Yes.
It's a healthy and a positive, you know, interaction in communication with one another. And also, I always believe that, you know, you don't compete with other people. You only compete with yourself.
Correct.
You know, you have to compete with yourself. You know, say, what can I do to better myself? What can I do to make the most of myself, so that I can be the best version of myself? Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, we all have potential that we can give to the world and to ourselves. So that's always focusing on your own abilities, you know, not competing it with other people, how they are, you know, like they can do better. And then you see themselves and so you get jealous, like you said, on the, and then we need to like control those emotions. Mm-hmm. Jealousy emotions and competitive, being very competitive in a negative way, not a positive way, but in a negative way. So that gets in the way of our growth as women. So I think, you know, we need to have like a control on that a little bit.
Yep.
That's so true. I was going to ask you one more question, Dr. Kuros. Yes. Is there something in both countries as Women Day? I know March 8th. It's International Women's Day. So is there any, I mean, in both countries, is there any days set apart for women, like March 8th?
Yeah, there is March 8th is celebrated in Ethiopia and Eritrea, both, and is you know, Women's Day is celebrated. I you know, a lot of times, like in Eritrea, Women's Day is celebrated mostly also with the women who sacrificed themselves for the independence of Eritrea. The women who died, you know, were selfless and was fought in the war, and so, you know, a lot of times, you know, they try to remember those things and empower women and to better themselves and be better parents to their children and to the society. So it is celebrated. Even here they celebrate. Ethiopians celebrate in Ethiopian community. It's celebrated in Eritrean community here. Also is celebrated with like dancing and music, and women dress up and with a traditional dress. We have a special traditional dresses that we wear, and we get together and you know, not political, not religious, not, you know, it's just celebrating women. So we do that.
That's amazing. How
Yeah,
many
that's
languages
awesome.
do you speak? I'm over there
I
on board.
speak Tigrinya, which is an Eritrean language, and I speak Amharic, which is an Ethiopian language. Mostly Amharic is the language. Like, you know, in Ethiopia, there are about 300 different dialects, and I can see languages. You don't even understand each other. It's like different languages. But there is one main language in Ethiopia that's spoken widely, you know, it's Amharic. So that's the only way you can communicate. A lot of times people don't, you know, if you don't know Amharic and you go to the rural areas, it's very hard to, if they don't know Amharic, it's very hard to communicate with them because there's so many different languages all over Ethiopia. Eritrea is a smaller country by the Red Sea. It is the language, there are a few languages, like I think nine different tribes, and but Tigrinya is widely spoken. So I speak that language too, the two languages, Tigrinya and Amharic.
Yes, more power to you. And I have one
Yeah.
question too before we move on to the next. So is are there any communities actively in Atlanta? I mean, oh, you're in Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
So are there any communities actively working in Chicago for both countries? Are you part of them?
Yeah, I am a part of the Ethiopian community here. And also there is an Eritrean assistance like foundation organization. I'm very involved with them because you know, I do have my own organization that's also here in Chicago. It's registered here in Chicago. It's called Our Legacies Left Behind. That's the name of my organization. It is my organization is empowering others to live up to their potential, knowing there's an end for us because, you know, we're not going to live here forever. And just to remember that to live mindfulness, you know, to practice mindfulness, to live your life knowing that there is an end and like living a legacy. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want to leave behind? How do your children want to remember you? How do you want the society to remember you? So, I mean, those are the things that I want to make people aware of in my organization so that they can live up to their potential. They could live up to their expect, you know, like their capacity and their potential, God-given talents. So I work with the homeless here in Chicago, with Eritreans and Ethiopian homeless people who are very, you know, homeless, homelessness, trying to get them, you know, a place to stay. And also, like if they don't have any paperwork, I work with the lawyers and attorneys here to see if we can get them back on track. So I work with the organizations, Eritrean Foundation. I refer them to them now since this has established here, and I work hand to hand in hand with the with those organizations in helping the, you know, the homeless and homelessness, opportunities for jobs, and also I am a part of the Mayor Lightfoot's Community Engagement Council. I am with the African and H, actually African and Caribbean committee with the mayor of Chicago. So, you know, we do a lot of, we meet occasionally, and we also bring out the issues that affect our communities. You know, what do we need in our communities? What are the benefits that we're missing? So I work with the Eritrean community organizations and see if I can like relate to the mayor's office and other offices here in, you know, in Chicago that we can get some assistance for.
That's so amazing. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for doing all that too. And I'm happy to share that recently, last week, I joined the Eritrean community in Atlanta. They have a huge community in Atlanta.
Ah.
They invited me, they reached out to me, and I joined, and they have an event next week in Atlanta. It's next Saturday. They have a summit where they will combine all Africa. I'm excited. I can't wait to go on Saturday morning.
Oh, it's really? You live in Atlanta? Do you live in Atlanta?
Yes, in Atlanta, yes. And the event is Saturday, the 18th. And
the 18th, is that for the women? For the Women's Day, the March 8th?
No, or it's not.
Something before.
February 18th, yes. They're having an event in Atlanta.
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, Saturday, yeah.
No, the next week, the 24th. Yeah, no, another is not tomorrow.
that's wonderful. You'll enjoy it because they're very hospitable, like I
and
said.
I will join, definitely. So, but thank you for sharing. So I can't wait to really get to know them because we have so many similarities between Eritrea and Haiti. So I can't wait to really get to know these people to see how we can help each other and collaborate in so many levels. So thank you so much.
That is amazing. That's great. So we will work together too. Yeah.
Sure.
We can collaborate. I will invite you when we have something here in Chicago.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
You guys can come over and, you know, that's why we empower one another.
Right.
Yes.
So, Dr. Quiros, I have one more question for you, and that is, what message would you like to share with the world? Anyone that's listening to this podcast right now, what would you like to tell the women of this world?
Okay, I want to say, know your worth, you know, your value, you know. Know that you are valued in your world. You have, you know, you know your worth. Regardless of who you are, where you come from, what color, what gender, what ethnic background you come from, know that you have a special, unique talent that God has given you. And that you can give the world. The world is waiting for you. You know, sometimes we are all so much distracted by so many things in our lives. And we forget our path, our journey, our, you know, who we are and why we're here on this earth. So just remember that we are all unique individuals created by God. For a purpose, and know your purpose, know your worth, know your value, and know that you matter.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Know your worth. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you everyone for watching because we are going to bring you more women from different countries.
Okay, let me know when the show is going to be. Yeah.
Absolutely, we'll let you know, but we want everyone to follow our pages. We are on Facebook, Instagram, we're on YouTube, Business Sales Cafe, and then Fortunately Femme. So follow us, stay tuned for more women, definitely.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. Thank you very much. And I really want to appreciate you for all the work that you do for women.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. It was so great meeting you. I look forward
to it. Very nice to meet you.
Yes.
Yes.
Have an amazing evening. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.